This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Healthcare. House Bill 3260 is a related bill that will require the Oregon Health Authority to conduct or contract for a study of the financial options of a universal healthcare system and make recommendations of what approach would be a good fit for Oregon. This bill is considered extremely important by Healthcare for All Oregon. At the end of the first week of February, two other groups with priorities that have impacts on health visited the Capitol. One consisted of people who stayed outside on the mall, off the Capitol grounds, mostly. This one got a lot of press because it was a rally against gun control, and many of its supporters carried guns. However, only those with a concealed weapon permit were able to enter the Capitol grounds or the Capitol carrying a gun. Public health research has shown that gun ownership in a household is associated with a risk of suicide and homicide that's elevated about 4 times above those households not having guns in them. So that is one of this rally's connections to health. A second group, the Oregon Public Health Association, also had a presence at the Capitol on February 8. This included displays in the Galleria on the first floor of the Capitol, meetings in Room 50, a press conference, and visits with legislators. I attended the press conference and talked to people at displays, and we'll hear some of the press conference and discussions later. At the press conference, OPHA members presented themes that it would like to see legislators pursue, but it did not introduce or support specific bills. At the short 2012 session, a bill to transform the way that Medicaid is presented to patients passed. From it, a number of coordinated care organizations, CCOs, developed. These are groups that provide health care to Medicaid patients in Oregon. The original bill, Transformation Bill, now law, stipulates that patients have access to naturopaths, chiropractors, and nurse practitioners as primary care providers, and access to services of licensed acupuncturists, massage therapists, and other specialty care. Because most of the coordinated care organizations have not made these available, House Bill 2522 was introduced this session to reiterate that point. At least one other bill has been introduced to meet another deficiency in the Transformation Act, and this one is House Bill 2960. It would expand the definition of public body that's subject to public meetings to include coordinated care organizations. Now, some of the state's CCOs have held their board meetings strictly in private, even though they are operating with public money and are treating patients at public expense. This bill, 2960, aims to correct that practice. Then there's Joint Resolution 18, sponsored by Representative Mitch Greenlich, chair of the House Health Committee. It proposes an amendment to the state constitution that would establish Oregon's obligation to ensure that every legal resident has access to effective, medically appropriate, and affordable health care. The House Health Care Committee is composed of 9 members. The chair this session, as I mentioned, is Democrat Mitch Greenlich. The 2 vice chairs are Republican Jim Thompson and Democrat Elissa Kenny Geyer. The bill to establish universal health care, House Bill 2922, has 2 chief co-sponsors, Michael Dembro and Jennifer Williamson, neither of whom is on the Health Committee. It also has a number of co-sponsors in the House and a chief sponsor, Senator Chip Shields, in the Senate. Now, this same team of 3, that's Dembro, Williamson, and Shields, plus Senator Lori Moniz Anderson, are chief sponsors of House Bill 3260, to require a study of financial options for universal health care and to make recommendations for the best fit for Oregon. Another topic is mental health. Early in the session, Senate President Peter Courtney made a dramatic call for major increases in mental health spending. On February 27, Oregon members of NAMI, and that's an acronym for the National Alliance on Mental Illness, visited legislators to support the governor's budget, which calls for a 43% increase in general fund spending for mental health treatment and services. NAMI supports community-based services for mental health rather than what it calls a big-box state hospital proposal in Junction City. It also opposes those parts of House Bill 2090 that change the way mental health pharmaceuticals are prescribed. How mental health services are delivered within coordinated care organizations is another mental health topic that we hope to discuss in a later program. Now we'll go to the press conference and interviews, and we'll probably end with some music from the rally on February 4th.
Good morning and welcome. I am Josie Henderson. I am the Executive Director for the Oregon Public Health Association. Thank you all for coming. The agenda for today is that I'm going to talk just a little bit to give you some background on the Oregon Public Health Association. And then Katie's going to talk about our 2013 legislative priorities. We have some youth that we're really excited have come to Salem to talk about what they want to advocate in regard to public health today. And then there should be some time for questions at the end. The Oregon Public Health Association is an affiliate of the American Public Health Association. We have over 400 members, and we represent every part of Oregon and every sector of public health. Our mission is to advocate for the health of every Oregonian, so that's all of you, and that's why we're here today, is to fulfill that advocacy piece of our mission. We have a second piece of our mission, and that's about supporting public health professionals. So we do that so that they can help make sure that Oregon is a healthy place to live. We were founded in 1944, and so for nearly 70 years, we've been the voice of public health in Oregon. During most of that time, and still to this day, most of the work of OPHA is done by a committed and hardworking group of volunteers, many of whom are here today in Hearing Room 50. One of those terrific volunteers is Katie Riley. Katie is a longtime public health advocate here in Oregon. She's a longtime OPHA member. She's also a past president of our organization and is the recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award that OPHA gives out every year. She's going to talk to us today about OPHA's 2013 legislative priorities.
So OPHA has a process for identifying its priorities. We do have some general priorities that we've identified so far, but we have not identified any specific bills as yet. Our two top priorities, however, that we have identified are obesity and tobacco use. These are the two leading causes of preventable death in Oregon. Obesity is caused by a lack of exercise and poor nutrition. And so we want to have legislators support bills that will encourage amelioration of those kind of problems. Almost 62% of Oregonians are overweight or obese. Obesity can lead to different cancers. It can lead to cardiology problems, respiratory problems, and it also can lead to stroke. So we want to prevent those kind of problems. Approximately 7,000 Oregonians are diagnosed with diabetes each year as well, and this is also brought on by overweight and lack of exercise. Tobacco issues are also a high priority for us. It's associated with a number of diseases, including cancers, respiratory and cardiovascular problems, and strokes as well. It contributes to 22% of all deaths in Oregon and is very costly. It costs taxpayers more than $2.4 billion per year in direct costs, as well as medical expenses and lost productivity. And approximately 35% of 11th graders have reported smoking in the past 30 days. 20% of adult Oregonians do smoke as well. So these are large problems for Oregon. In addition, OPHA is also concerned about improving health in other settings. We wish to have Oregon provide for healthy environments in homes, schools, and work sites. And we also would hope that we could have access to quality health care, and that includes mental health care, substance abuse treatment, school-based health centers. And then finally, we would also like Oregon to improve the prevention of disease and injury. And that includes prevention of substance use, prevention of teen pregnancy, and prevention of needless incarceration. And now we have students in different programs in our state who will talk about some specific problems and data regarding some of these issues. So our first student here will come and speak.
Hello, I am Frank Aoki, and I am from Liberty High School. And during car rides where one person has smoked, levels of fine particulate matter average 3 times higher than the maximum safe indoor air limit by the World Health Organization.
Hello, I'm Sarai Burra, and I'm from Forest Grove High School. A typical 1 hour hookah session is equivalent to 100 or more cigarettes, according to the World Health Organization.
Hello, my name is Mary Feese, and I'm from OHSU School of Nursing. And we would like to promote healthy environments by asking the legislators to consider the environmental health impacts of the proposed legislation.
Hello, my name is Susan Ramirez, and I'm from Woodburn High School. Prevent inappropriate access to firearms. In 2010, there were 455 deaths in Oregon from firearms.
My name is Magdalena Rivas. I'm a junior from Woodburn High School, and I'm here to tell you that 22% of 8th graders and 28% of 11th graders in Oregon reported have suffered from depression. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Christina Munoz, and I'm from Woodburn High School, and I'm a junior. I would like you guys to know that in the past 30 days, 23% of 8th graders and 36% of 11th graders has at least one drink of alcohol. Also, about 22% of 11th grader students in the state of Oregon report having used marijuana in the past 30 days.
Hello, my name is Claudia Diaz. I go to Woodburn High School, and I'm a senior. I just wanted to say that school-based health centers are a vital piece of health care for Oregon's youth. Of school-based health centers patients, 81% reported they were unlikely to receive care that day if there was not a school-based health center available to them. And 80% reported discussing at least one prevention topic during their school-based health center visit.
Hi, my name is Elisa Ramirez, and I am from Woodburn High School. I am a sophomore, and I would like to talk about prevention and about incarceration. So studies have shown that education and prevention treatments of youthful offenders promote safer communities and are less expensive than incarceration. Thanks.
So that concludes the main part of our press conference. We do have some time for questions and answers if anybody has any.
As you may be aware, the state in September of this year, I believe, will be paying off the last of a bond using basically the National Tobacco Settlement, which frees up that money for the rest of the two-year budget cycle. There is already a coalition that's proposed use of that money. Where I'm interested in knowing where your association has joined that coalition. As other, I realize you don't have specifics yet, but where you have any ideas about how that money should be spent.
So OPHA is a partner with the Tobacco Coalition of Oregon, and we'll be working with them regarding specific legislation. So we do support the need for having that directed toward prevention in particular.
The other question I had off the top was that earlier this week, Senate President Courtney called for a major infusion of money into mental health programs. He also said that if the legislature can't find a dedicated source of money for the entire package, he proposes that at least the legislature should attempt to cover the smaller amount of money involved in covering people under 25, I think that's the best way to phrase that. I wonder if you have any thoughts on that. I realize it's not a proposal he has, but it's certainly an advocacy he has, and whether there are specific programs within. I know the governor's budget does contain amount of money, which also the Senate president's proposal would encompass those proposals, but are there any priorities within those programs?
Yes, we certainly support treatment of substance abuse and also mental health issues, and are very supportive of Senator Courtney's initiative on that. There's not specific legislation as yet. We also support prevention of substance abuse by adolescents and having youth involved in positive programs such as those evidenced by the students we have visiting with us today from Hillsboro Boys and Girls Club and from the Woodburn Prevention Group as well. I think it really epitomizes how we would like to see youth occupied in terms of having positive activities during out-of-school time. Senator Courtney has also talked about the possibility of raising wine and beer tax, and that would certainly solve or work toward solving another problem. When you raise the cost of alcohol, this makes it more prohibitive for youth as well as others to use it, and it would help to solve some other problems as well to prevent substance use.
I have a question about the youth group. Mm-hmm. Is it through Boys and Girls Clubs or health classes, or how do you recruit them? They're wonderful.
Well, we recruit them from, you know, these different groups that we know about.
The USDA released their preliminary guidelines in terms of snacks, vending machines, food in schools. What is the association doing in terms of moving those guidelines alone, and where does Oregon stand, if you know, in terms of legislation or just procedures in terms of vending machines and snacks that are sold at schools and other areas?
Didn't the legislature pass something?
I'm trying to remember whether it was the 2007 or 2009 legislative session. We have also supported in the past the Farm to School initiative, and I believe there will be additional legislation that will be considered regarding that. So we have supported having healthy food served in schools and also in vending machines. We've seen changes in schools as a result of that legislation and also what's available in vending machines.
I understand that OPHA is one of the 60 or so members of Healthcare for All Oregon, and there's legislation in that regard too, LC 1914. You're supporting that, I assume, because you're a member of HCAO.
We haven't gone through the process of supporting specific bills yet. That one will certainly be considered. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. What is your name?
My name is Kari Lors, and I volunteer with Upstream Public Health.
And you are a member of the Public Health Association that's here today.
Yes, I am here promoting farm to school advocacy, specifically House Bill 2649, which is a continuation of 2011's House Bill 2800, which provided $200,000 for Oregon schools, select schools, to purchase local farm and food produce and for garden education.
Oh, wonderful. I've seen that in some urban schools, actually, with very small garden plots, but still garden plots in the concept. But are yours perhaps larger, being in a rural area, that you're hoping to establish?
I suppose they vary a great deal.
Yes. For example, Chapman Elementary School, their specific garden was 30 by 40 terraced plot. Very small.
Wow.
But if you go up to some of the more rural schools, for example, in Joseph, they have a magic garden, which is about 2 acres.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's really something. I did an interview with a person who's developing the same concept at Coffee Creek.
Oh, nice.
Our women's prison.
Uh-huh.
And that's been very exciting.
Definitely. There are varying extents of the education piece of House Bill 2800. Some have their local FFA clubs partaking in farm to school. So they are raising animals for the school to buy for use in their cafeteria.
Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So it will actually provide lunches or be a healthier lunch, I suspect, is what your goal is, really,
yes.
As much as anything,
yes.
And local.
Yes, definitely correct. For this, it directly benefits two groups, your local farmers, whether they raise cattle, whether they raise kale, it doesn't matter, or grain is another popular one. And then it also promotes the education piece for students to go out and learn about how plants grow.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of research has been done is that when children are exposed and have hands-on experience to food, they are more likely to try that food. So, for example, last week I was at a legislative visit to Chapman Elementary School in Northwest Portland with Senator Steiner Hayward and Representative Greenlee. And six first graders went out and showed him their Brussels sprouts, their kale, their fava bean cover crop, and then they went inside and made kale smoothies.
Wow, and at this time of year, I mean, this is February, still Brussels sprouts? Oh, I guess I know that. I raised them, and we just about a month ago did in our plant and cleaned the little Brussels sprouts and ate them a little bit every week. So I guess these have just been continuing from that.
Yes.
And you have the fava bean cover crops, which you'll then hoe back in. I was going to say plow, but more likely hoe.
Into the soil. Yes, garden education isn't just about the plants, but it's a lot about science. It's about math. It's about geometry with garden construction, photosynthesis. Anything can be tied to a garden, so it's a well-rounded education piece.
Wow. Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
At the February 4th rally for universal health coverage in Oregon, one of the performers was David Robicks. David is a singer-songwriter, and he sang one of his songs that he'd written about Occupy, explaining the Occupy movement, why people started it and why they stayed. And the concept fits really well with why people come to the legislature, too. So we'll hear a little excerpt from that song. And afterwards, I had a chance to ask him about his own health coverage and his ideas about that.
Gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay right here. Because both my parents lost their savings. Because I have never opened an account. Because the interest on my credit card just doubled. And now I can't pay the minimum amount. Because these budget cuts are just immoral, with our schools as overcrowded as they are. Because there are no buses where I live, but I can't afford to drive a car. Because so many of us don't have health insurance. Because the rest of us have it, but it sucks. Because the rich are flying in their private jets, while the rest of us are slogging through the muck. So we're gonna stay right here. What are we gonna do? We're gonna stay right here.
I'm just asking, do you have any health coverage insurance yourself?
No, I don't. My daughter does because of the Oregon subsidized. That's only like $48 a month or something at our income rate, so I can afford that. But no, health care for me would be unaffordable. I don't have it. My wife has health care only because she's a Japanese national. So if she gets sick enough, you know, that it's worth, you know, flying to Japan, then basically you could say that she has a $1,000 deductible, you know, for the flight to Tokyo.
Oh,
and then she can get health care.
Yeah. Wow. Here we are in a, quote, underdeveloped country, it seems like. We're underdeveloped in all of those ways that take care of people and make a safe environment.
Yeah, we are. You know, if you go visit a really, really poor country and you come to the U.S., then you can see clearly this is a very developed country in the sense of, like, having a functioning infrastructure for the most part. And, you know, roads that you're not going to fall into, you know, I mean, but in so many very significant ways, it's like a third world country because this underbelly is just huge. In places like Mexico City or Buenos Aires, you go to these neighborhoods and you see, okay, this is how most of the people live. We just never see these neighborhoods if we're visiting. Because, you know, unless you're seeking them out, you won't go to them. And it's the same in the U.S. There are neighborhoods and cities all over this country, including entire cities all over this country, that pretty much nobody would ever go to because they're looking for a good meal or because they're looking for a night out at the theater or whatever. Because these cities or these entire neighborhoods don't have anything like that. They just have poverty and people with no health care. in the tens of millions, you know. So it really is just a, and then of course you look at the, how long people live. I mean, some neighborhoods we die in our 40s, you know, and you compare that to even the poorest neighborhoods of Cuba, which is an interesting comparison. And you can't find neighborhoods in Cuba where people die at the age of 40, you know.
What all kinds of benefits do you support?
In the past 2 weeks, I've done a benefit for the tar sands blockade in Texas and a benefit for a community farm in Brooklyn, New York.
David, you sell CDs.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to tell us your website for that?
Sure. I have CDs for sale, and also people can download it all for free or by donation, and it's at davidrovics.com.
And that's R-O-V-I-C-S is your last name,
yep.
Right?
You got it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Very nice to meet you.
The Health and Healthcare Forum is produced by Roberta Hall and recorded with the aid of Joe Magner of Anabyte Electronics and Recording. Theme music was composed by Laurie Childers and played by Laurie Childers and Kent White.
And you're tuned to KBOO in Portland, 90.7 FM. And it is 12 o'clock, and it's time for the Noontime Jamboree. Johnny Bond starting off the Noontime Jamboree today. Johnny Bond and his Red River Valley Boys and riding down to Santa Fe. Well, I brought in, a bunch of Ella Mae Morse today. And here she is with the Okie Boogie. Ella Mae Morse along with Here's Ella Mae Morse and the Okie Boogie. I'll tell you who she's playing with in just a moment.
Listen here, friends, I want to tell you about a brand new dance that you gotta learn to do. It's called the Okie Boogie. You do it Okie style. That mean old Okie Boogie is bound to drive you wild. Well, it's gotta be fast, you can't go too slow. If you hear that rhythm, you got to do-si-do when you do the Okie Boogie. And do it Okie style. That mean old Okie Boogie is bound to drive you wild. Style. That mean old Okie Boogie is bound to drive.
has been broken into